Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I'm excited and just a little bit intimidated by welcoming our current guest, Andy Lyons. Andy says, pastures are for horses, not humans. I love that so much. We are not designed to do nothing and spend our elder years invisible and out of sight. Andy, at age 68, is living proof that ambition is ageless. A four-time business founder, longtime global startup member, and serial podcaster since 2012, Andy brings decades of entrepreneurial spirit and broadcasting expertise to everything she does. She's the founder of the New England Podcasters Group and the host of Don't Be Caged by Your Age, which is a title I love, a popular podcast where she's redefining what it means to thrive after 65. Through powerful conversations with people who've defied ageist expectations and stereotypes, Andy helps her listeners dissolve internalized ageism and step boldly into what she calls their Renaissance years, enlivened, visible, and purposefully engaged. Welcome, Andy. I'm so thrilled.
Oh, I'm so delighted to be here, Julie. Hello to everyone tuning
Hello.
in. And of course, I love the
Yes.
title of your podcast, Roaming with Restless Women. Ooh, so good.
We are never done. That is my motto. We are never done. Oh, well, it's a thrill to have you here. I wanted to start out by asking the question of why did you get started podcasting? It seems like way back in 2012.
Well, I had a very interesting online business at the time called Bring Back Desire, and was helping long-term couples stay tuned in and turned on and, keeping the intimacy going. And so I thought, well, why not have some way of interviewing authors, relationship experts, and bring more knowledge for me, right? To understand this was a new industry for me. I'd been in tech, I'd been in food. And so this whole relationship thing, how am I going to get better at what I'm doing if I don't talk to those who are experts? And I find that when you call someone or reach out to someone and say, "Hey, would you be on my podcast?" They're like, "Oh yeah." And if they're not saying, "Oh yeah," their PR folks are saying, "You get on that podcast." Whereas you picked up the phone or emailed somebody, you may never hear from them. They'll probably ghost you. So that's how I got started. And I had a wonderful run with Bring Back Desire, but after a certain amount of time, I wanted to go and help people with their businesses because I was seeing so much misinformation online about how to launch a business. I just could not believe what I was seeing with my own eyes. So I got into that and I became a startup mentor. And then that blossomed into being a global startup mentor. And I had a long time podcast called Startup Life Show, which I also went live twice a week across all the social platforms for 3 years. Thank you, COVID. And I interviewed diverse founders from around the world to help people understand, what founders were struggling with. And then after that, when I decided 2 years ago that I needed to do something that I really loved, and I knew I loved podcasting, and I knew from a post I'd had on LinkedIn called Don't Be Caged by Your Age. I came out when I was 66. I held up my sign, the Route 66 sign in front of me, and took a picture. And I wrote this post and it went viral. And I heard and learned so much from folks, but I felt I needed a palate cleanser in between Startup Life Live and Don't Be Caged by Your Age. So I did a 30 episode series called Your Ink Story. And Your Ink Story was asking folks, tell me your ink story. Why did you get that tattoo? Or why did you cover your bodies with tattoo? There we go. You've got one too.
Wait,
There's
I've got
always a story.
six.
Oh my God. See, there's always a story that connects us as humans behind tattoos. So I felt we were constantly at odds with each other. And I needed to do some connective thread about what brings us together. And body art always has a story about loss and overcoming things and, pets and children, just all those things that are the human journey. So that was wonderful. But in March, I started, and this is going to answer your question about podcasting. I started Don't Be Caged by Your Age because once again, How do you become a thought leader in your industry? How do you become considered an expert in your industry? You interview the experts, you interview the folks. It ups your game, it ups your visibility and your knowledge. And all of a sudden, there you are, a thought leader in a topic you really are passionate about. And I find it's one
Right.
of the best ways, whether you are building a business and you want to increase brand awareness and you want to create opportunity for people to find out about you and purchase your products and services, to you may be just so passionate about something, whether it's knitting or horror movies, right? You want to share that passion with the world and with other people who are so excited about those things as well. So I find podcasting is not only a wonderful way to up your game in an industry and all the business ways, it's also a way to find connection and meaning and share a passion and develop skills that you need to have. But the best part is the overhead is very low today versus back in 2012 when I started.
I'm sure,
You have
yeah.
Podpage, which is where it'll set you up with a website for maybe $18 a month. You've got Descript for anywhere $12 to $18 a month for your editing. You have Buzzsprout, again, $12 to $18 a month for hosting your podcast, which is what sends it out to RSS feed to Apple and Spotify, et cetera. And then you can add a few other bells and whistles. But really, that's a for one dinner out, your overhead is covered.
Yeah.
So I just, except for a good mic, which might be $100, that's it. And once you get past those 10 episodes, Julie, as you know, right, you're getting more confident and you're able to see, oh, I can do this, I can do that. But do it with shaking knees, do it feeling so insecure, do not worry. It's kind of like when you do a pancakes on the griddle. Sometimes that first batch you got to toss out. It's okay. Nobody's listening in the beginning. You can get
That's
all
for
of those
sure.
worked out, and then you can start focusing on getting more listeners. But understand that there's so many out there. So anyway, you can tell my passion for podcasting. And that's why in my elder years, I wanted to focus on something I truly love and enjoy. As much as, startup are great, it's nail biting. All right. You're
Oh,
always,
it's stressful.
it's very
Absolutely.
stressful. And
Yeah.
the reciprocity isn't really there in that industry because founders are hyper focused on what they need. So if you're not filling those needs, get out of the way, as they should
Right.
be. Whereas podcasters or what I'm talking about with pro aging, oh my gosh, there's a lot of reciprocity.
So, how did you decide to focus and how did you get your passion for pro aging? Was it just your own personal experience, or did you start seeing a trend that needed to be fulfilled?
Well, first of all, in our age group, I'm a baby boomer. You couldn't talk about your age. And now we've got all this online things, and everybody's focused on don't age, whatever you do, don't age and don't look like you're aging. And I was sitting there going, oh my gosh. But I hosted a monthly pitch event here in Boston for 3 years for startup founders to pitch their value prop in 99 seconds. And we'd have investors as a judging panel. And I would hear again and again folks advising a startup founder to tell us about your business as if you were telling your grandmother. And now I'd sit there going, no, wait a minute. First of all, it's never grandpa. So it's like, okay, gendered
Right.
ageism right there. Secondly, who do you think developed all these tech companies? What do you think we were doing in the 70s, 80s, 90s, all right, before any of you were born? And look where we've had to come. We have gone from the typewriter and barely the telephone to.
Seriously.
And we've had to evolve on so many levels. I mean, I interviewed a woman who was gaming on mainframes with punch cards in the late 70s. Okay, like there
I
we go.
worked
Julie's raising
with
her hand.
punch cards.
Yes, okay, exactly.
That was one of my high school jobs.
Yeah, so our brains have had to evolve and evolve quickly. We sent letters and picked up the phone until 1990, all right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
then we learned about, and then we learned the email. That's a short time ago, everybody, that we have had to evolve. So to make a short story really long, you can tell I would get very upset at this. And then I had most people just assumed I was in my early 50s, and I was in my early 60s. And I thought, I'm so afraid to tell my age, but I'd had enough. So I came out when I was 66 because I saw gendered ageism in the tech industry everywhere. And I said, this has got to stop. So I'll take the first step to age out loud and proud. And held up
Why
the signs that
not?
I am 68, and in my LinkedIn profile, the first thing you read is I am 68, and and in a month it's going to be I am 69 and feeling fine.
Well, I know that I experienced ageism like heavy duty for the first time when I got laid off at 55.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I was looking in my inbox. I was used to juggling recruiter calls. I would always take the call. I would always try and help. If I wasn't interested, I would always try and help them with a lead for a new job or somebody else to take a look at. All of a sudden, recruiters were not contacting me. Then, when I got retired and I actually started looking, I was applying for things that I could do in my sleep, and I wasn't applying for junior level. I was applying for my level or maybe one step below because why not? I had already gotten, I had already been a leader. I've already done all this stuff. I don't want to be a CEO of something. I just want to do the work. I love the work. I love being a change management consultant. So started applying and wasn't getting, I was getting crickets, 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 crickets. So I contacted a career coach. First thing she said, take all the dates off your resume. Don't put on there when you graduated college. Don't put your first two or three jobs out of school on there. I'm like, well, those jobs show I went from, 25,000 to 75,000 in 5 years at a bank. And I went from nothing to a senior vice president. Come on. Hello.
They don't care anymore.
Right. It doesn't show what
And also
without,
you've got those automatic tracking systems, those things that are
Oh, the
scanning.
ATS.
Yeah, so now you have to dumb yourself down, meaning you have to make sure that scanning, artificial intelligence, is seeing you as a 48-year-old.
Right.
And
And
how
how can
like
that happen?
Yeah, because you're not going to put, like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm friggin' amazing. And they're like, I don't care. You're permafrost.
Right, exactly. Or the automatic assumption is that you don't know technology. I've been in technology my entire life.
Don't get me started here. I'm going to go again on my soapbox. I
I know.
know.
So I totally get the whole anti-ageist movement. I'm seeing a lot more on LinkedIn.
Oh gosh, Julie, yeah, we're talking
Yeah,
about it
about
night and
that.
day because generations of talent are being wasted with this ridiculous indoctrinated belief in our corporations and organizations that ambition dies after you hit the age of 50. That again, like as you were saying, technology, what they and the numbers are there that when you have intergenerational teams, you are much more efficient because and profitable because in the meeting, you've got the youngsters who are bringing lots of innovation, great ideas, da, da, da. And then you've got the older brain, the older adult who's going, great idea. I love that. Here are some of the pitfalls. Let's make sure we streamline it this way because, and then here we are in the end of June of 2025. We are going to go through some very difficult times here in the US. There is no doubt about it. Our economy is tanking. Okay. We've got lots of problems. Well, Been there, done that, right? We can go
Yeah.
all through the decades. We figured out how to get new clients in a down market, how to do all the things in really difficult times, whether it was 9/11, 2008, or way back in 1987 when we had a huge market drop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a disaster. So we've been through all of those, and we had the blowout of the dot-com. Oh my gosh, that was awful.
Yes.
So the having these experienced brains are so key. You're unflappable. You know how to think in that regard because you've been there. So the younger generations are pulling their hair out, having panic attacks. Oh my God, what are we going to do? They need us over 50-year-old employees more than ever right now.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we bring is that, as you mentioned, the calmness
And the lived
and the
experiences, yes.
and we've been through this or something similar.
Seasoned.
Bottom line is the world's not ending yet. And there are options. And I have some of those ideas. You have some of those ideas. Let's talk about it together.
Right. And sometimes the transition that, gosh, it's great to have a guaranteed paycheck, right? I mean, come on,
Oh,
employ me and give me that
yes.
steady stream of income, please. But I say that as virtual as living on other people's experiences, because I've been unemployable since 1992. But this is a great time of your life. And your executive coach, I'm sure, was talking to you about this, which is companies are getting better and better at bringing on older adults as consultants. And that helps you manage your energy portfolio. Because let's
Oh, that's
face
a
it,
good
after
idea.
60, you don't have the energy for certain things. You know, and I don't mean like you're exhausted. I mean, I don't want to spend what's left of my life doing that, right? And so
Right.
now you're bringing your core skills to an organization. You might be there 10, 15, 20 hours a week helping that one company, maybe 5 hours a week with another company, but you're bringing that core expertise, which you can charge more for
Yes.
because it is just that. They're not asking you to show up. They don't have the overhead of having you as an employee. And so there is, and I've talked to a lot of career experts who have said, getting that shingle out, as we used to call it, right, for our
Yeah.
business and finding ways to network where we can get picked up and ready to address any of those ageist issues and reframe them so the
Yeah.
organization that's hiring you is going, oh, of course I need him or her for this time and for this opportunity.
Well, as a and as a consultant, I've been trained over however many years. We didn't get time to onboard, right? We went in on a Monday. By Friday, if we didn't have our go forward plan, the relationships we needed to build built, or at least the introduction, if we didn't have significant impact in that first week, we weren't going to be successful because we only had 3 weeks or 6 weeks or a month to do whatever it was that
Right.
company hired us to do. So we are at least ex consultants or continuing consultants. We know how to go in, hit the ground running, ignore the politics, and get a job done.
And Julie, I'm the mother of a young, exactly. My clappers are out for that. And I'm the mother of a young millennial. I have my kids late in life, everybody. A young millennial and an older Gen Z, okay, they're motivated differently than we were. We were baked into the capitalist, give everything you've got for the man, so to speak, corporation.
Right.
So and I applaud the younger generation that
Me
they are more
too.
about a quality of life versus, and I'm sure it's because they've watched their parents have the spit sucked out of them from all the hours they used to work.
And then
So
get laid
now,
off.
yeah. And
Yeah.
so now it's like, okay, corporation, organization, it would behoove you to start looking at your 50 plus employees because they have a strong work ethic. They're extremely loyal versus the younger generation. I mean, there's just so many reasons to hire us. I could go on forever. And And they need to understand that, of course, we know technology. My word, I want to do a video series, I think, Julia, on TikTok, just pulling up things like a punch card, pulling up things like a phone. You ask, in fact, you can watch videos of the younger generations trying to operate
Oh,
a dial
yes,
phone.
I've seen those.
Come on,
Yes.
they don't know what they're doing. Our brains are so agile, and because of neuroplasticity of the brain, you can easily learn new things. In fact, that's one of the things for longevity, is to always be learning new things. One of my favorite stories was back in 2012. This woman was teaching Madison Avenue, the ad agencies, how to use social media. And she had to be late 60s, early 70s, and she'd get some pushback and she'd go, "Sit down. You have been showing, like, where you were dancing, drinking, playing, partying online. You know nothing about marketing. I know how to market and I know how to do it online. So get ready and take notes."
I love
Because
that.
people just assume, well, these younger kids, they were brought up with the internet, they know how to do everything. No, they don't. They have been marketing for a minute. They don't understand the right way to reach a client. What's a psychographic? How are you going to reach those, have your target audience and the listener? All of those things they do not know until they get someone older to show them.
Right. It's that they have maybe some great ideas,
Yes,
but
creative, innovative, clever.
the context,
Right.
that eventually those ideas are going to run into, oh, it's not novel anymore. What is the point?
Yeah.
What is the context in which, what's your strategy?
Right.
I see a lot of tactics. I don't see a lot of strategy.
Exactly. And being prepared for those bumps. Because they just
Oh, for
assume that
sure.
A, B, C, D, E is going to follow. And you're like, hello, there's this thing called Mother Nature that can really wipe things out in a heartbeat. What are you going to do? There's things like a lit you could get the company could get legal, get hit with a litigating factor. How are you going to manage that? I mean, they just don't know about the stuff that comes out of the blue.
Well, and they can't know because they haven't experienced it
Right.
yet.
And that's with
The
all due
other thing
respect to you
too,
younger folks. We love
Oh
you.
yeah. Oh my gosh, I love them. Oh,
Something fierce.
something fierce, that's for
Even
sure.
though we have shoes older than they are.
We do. No, I don't.
Well,
Not
oh,
living
that's
in
right,
an
because
RV.
now you
To
are decluttered to the muh degree.
the max, absolutely. Okay, let's switch a little bit and let's talk about podcasting. Because that is a passion we both share. I didn't know I had that passion until I actually did it last August, but it is something that I just absolutely love. You love it. You've been doing it a lot longer, and we are both hearing from people who are even our age or older who want to get into it but not aren't quite sure how. So talk to me about how you have been helping people. Excuse me, I've got a little bug in here. Helping people to overcome those fears and to get into podcasting.
Oh, first of all, it's practice. It's taking that first step and really being gentle with yourself. It is not about perfection. It's
Not at
testing,
all.
it's trying it out. And one of the reasons I launched the New England Podcasters Group was that a lot of times people are podcasting in isolation. And you want to, you tell your family and friends and they're delighted for you. Oh, I'm so happy for you. They're clueless, right, about what you're doing. And I really like in-person events. So when I set up this in-person event, it was for two reasons. One, in that I woke up in 2024 and said, I want to have community. Well, again, where am I going to spend my energy? Because I don't know how many days I have left. I want to do it talking to people I really like and enjoy. And podcasters are fascinating. Look at you, Julie. You're fascinating and interesting. So I thought, okay, I'll be bold. I'll take a little barometer check in the New England area and see if anybody's interested. And I had a little Zoom meetup in March of 2024 where 15 people showed up. And in that, to say that they were interested, this is a good idea. And I said, oh, wow, that's cool. And so one of them said, have I got the location for you? There are so many community access TV stations around this country that are trying to repurpose. And some of them have set up not they don't they not only have a great, beautiful TV studio, right? They have a podcast studio. Well, we have
Oh.
one right here in Mass, one of many, but the one we went through to is Westford Community Access TV, that a state-of-the-art podcasting studio. But I set it up every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon. I'm going to be here. Other podcasters are going to be here. Come talk to us. Ask us the questions. Let us help cheer you on past that point. So what I'm trying to say is no one should podcast alone. When I first started, I absolutely had a producer for the first 12, 15, 20 episodes so I could get my sea legs and see how it works. Anything that's unknown. Yes, there's a YouTube video for everything, but still, it's great to have someone hold your hand. And sometimes it means being part of a community and they can hold your hand, but also it can be someone online that can hold your hand. Just do it. And then if you're going to do like Julie and I do, which is an interview podcast, again, try it out. Make sure that you have a script. Winging it is good for some people who are great at extemporaneous conversations. I am not that person. I like to map out. In fact, we've got a featured speaker coming in August who's talking about the flow of show. Like, how do you have it so that it's choreographed? It makes your guests feel comfortable. Trust is so important among your listeners. So if they know again and again, this is how Andy or Julie is going to take us through this conversation, this kind of beginning, middle, and end. People love that. And so that consistency, it can be once a week, it can be twice a week, like Julie does. God bless you for that. It can be twice a month, it can be once a month, but as long as you keep meeting at that time and you get past those first 10 episodes, that's where most podcasts drop off. And then do not compare yourself with anybody else. I'm going to quote Seth Godin here. Sure, it's been done before, but not by you and not for us. Your voice matters. You are uniquely qualified based on your lived experiences to deliver this topic your way. And if you're feeling like, I don't know, there's so many voices in that category, I invite you to walk down the bread aisle. There's so many brands in the bread aisle, then there's always room for one more. And so it's the same thing with podcasting. And then finally, do not worry about who is like how many downloads you're getting, who's listening. The only ones that really hit it out of the park right away and get this 10,000 downloads and oh my
Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
are the ones that are salacious, are prurient. They're ones talking like true crime or the Kardashian type of conversations, pop culture. Most of us are talking about things that are personal development. And so storytelling is involved. Experience, shared experiences are involved. If you get 20 downloads per episode, to me, you are a winner because put yourself in a room with 20 people. That's a lot of people looking at you, right? And a lot of people listening. That's like, and that ripple effect, what you've told them is going to go out into to the world. You are having an impact with 20.
And I agree. I told you at the very beginning, I don't even look at my metrics
Good for
because I
you.
enjoy this so much. And part of my philosophy is just I have faith that whatever I put out there, if I'm truly authentic and led to do it, and I'm talking to the right people, for my people, the people that I'm targeting, the people that I think would love this information, it's going to get to the right person. And it might only be one person. Who knows?
That
But
ripple effect is huge.
I'm leaving something that is going to last beyond myself.
That's right.
And it may be helpful to others. And to me, that's creating value in the world, which is why we're all here.
That's right. And it's evergreen. So
Evergreen.
they, I have think podcast episodes that get found years later. People will leave a comment. And it's very powerful. And so it's a wonderful outlet too, and to explore. There's just, and it's, as I said earlier, the overhead is so low. So it's not a huge investment. You can do it right from the comfort of your living room, a chair in a corner somewhere. You just, it's, as long as you have Wi-Fi, you can make it work.
I love it. I have three questions, Andy, just so that we have to keep to a timeline. We know how this works.
Yes.
I have three questions I ask at the end of every episode. So, can you close your eyes for the first one? In your mind's eye, describe what you see when I say the words wise woman.
I see a woman who is standing in her authority and in her worthiness, who is comfortable in her skin, who is truly accepting of where she is in life and who she is. Self-centered, self-loving.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. Okay, second question. Where do you like to roam?
I like to roam in nature. So there's that. But I also love to roam. Like, nothing makes me happier than going into a room full of strangers and meeting them. So I have two roaming environments. I love to hike, go on great walks in nature, but I also love to roam among strangers that are gathered at a conference or at a network or meetup and just find out what's making their hearts sing.
I love that too. And final question. What makes you restless, but in a good way?
Oh my gosh, that's just been the story of my life. I hit a plateau and I can't settle. I've got to go, what's the next frontier? I have to always be exploring. And it could be a curse, but a gift. I don't know. Double-edged sword, so to speak. But that is just how I am. I'm always curious and I want to learn more and I want to continue to connect and enhance others and amplify their voices.
Well, thank you so much. I am so excited to have you. And I'm so excited to introduce you to my audience. And guys, feel free to take a look at the show notes where I'll put all of the information on how to get reach Andy, as well as see what she's doing in the podcast community up in the New England podcasters community. She's getting ready to open it up to
That's
everyone
right.
who's a podcaster. And if you need help or want to talk with her, I'll have that information in the show notes. Andy, thank you again so much. I appreciate it.
Julie, I have loved every minute of this conversation. It flew by. It was fascinating. You're amazing. Thank you so
Thank you.
much for the honor and privilege of being on your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.